your continued interest in your prayers. I got up with this subject on my mind this morning, so I pray the Lord will bless it to our good tonight. The thought is forgiveness among ourselves. You know, forgiveness is a release. When there's an offense, or sometimes the scripture speaks of it as a debt, and you can turn loose of it. That's a good feeling, isn't it? When you can release it, give it to God, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. But it's a release, and to feel forgiveness, is a blessing. Now, let's make a distinction between timely forgiveness and redemption. You know, the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus has bought for us eternal forgiveness. Nothing can separate us from that Christ has done for us. But in our interaction with one another while we go through this life, there are times when offenses happen and forgiveness may or may not be given. Sometimes people hold grudges. Sometimes we're not quick to turn loose of something and release it. So there's the idea of forgiveness here, but I'm thankful. You know, like Ephesians 1, I'm thankful for Ephesians 1, verse 7. You know, where verse 6 he said that we were made accepted. Verse 6, we're made accepted in the beloved. In verse 7 it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That debt is paid. And it's paid in full. And so when we think about that, and also Isaiah 53 verse 11, which speaks about God looking down upon his son and saying, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. See, when there's a debt, it needs to be paid. The debt of sin that we owed, the Lord Jesus has paid that in full. Now, on that foundation, the fact that we have forgiveness through the blood of Christ, then in our interactions with one another, we ought to be forgiving one of another. But like I said before, sometimes we do a good job of that, sometimes we don't. And sometimes when you talk about or you announce the fact that you're going to be talking about forgiveness, there's some folks kind of hang their head because they don't want to hear that subject. But aren't you thankful that you're forgiven through the blood of Christ? And Paul makes mention, and we'll get to that later, but Paul makes mention in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 that the very basis of why we are to be forgiving of one another is because we have been forgiven so much through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we should be forgiving one of another. So God was satisfied with the debt that Jesus paid. That'll never be held against us. And so, and it's kind of like this different words and a little bit different thought, but like in 1 John 4, when John said, beloved, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. And sometimes that kind of love involves forgiveness. Sometimes that kind of love involves some long suffering. But if he's done that for us, then we ought to do that for one another. All right? Now, let's see. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. In life, sometimes offenses are going to happen. And there may or may not be forgiveness. Luke 17. Jesus said, Luke 17, verse 1, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Haven't you found that to be the case in life? So we know they're going to come. But the Lord tells us how weighty a matter this is. He says, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him, the offender, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea. That's heavy, isn't it? Than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what does it say? Forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day again turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, think about that in a practical sense. Have you ever had anybody offend you 7 times in one day? I don't know that I have. But you know, I think the rabbis only allowed 3 times. But Jesus said 7 times. And really, there's a verse, and we'll get to a verse in Matthew. He says 70 times 7. That's a lot. Are you going to do that? Well, if we obey the scriptures, we will. Is the Lord unreasonable in what he is asking here? Is what he's commanding, really? Is he unreasonable? Oh, but you don't know this circumstance. Yeah, I think the Lord knows. I'm satisfied the Lord knows any circumstance that could arise. We go back to the fact that in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, he gave us the basis for why we should obey this scripture. Even as Christ, Colossians says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. When you stop and think about it, everything the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came, and everything that he came to do, was to reconcile us to God. When he shed his precious blood, it was to pay our sin debt, reconcile us to the Father. And if we've all of his people, if we've all been forgiven of our sins, then the responsibility that we have toward one another is to be forgiving. And the Bible gives us a remedy for those that are unreasonable, those that refuse to listen to the Word of God. Okay, we have that. But as far as interacting with one another, we're under the commandment to forgive one another. I'm not talking about overlooking evil and all those kinds of things. I'm just simply saying, as a matter of, you know, as a rule, we're to be forgiving one of another. Okay. And when we stop and think how much the Lord has forgiven us, it makes it a whole lot easier for us to be forgiving one toward another. It's when we forget about that, that we're slow to forgive. All right? So we shouldn't take this lightly. The Lord is plain in His Word. Now, most of the time, it's when we're talking about offenses, it's when others are offending us. See, it's only one of us to offend others, but there's the rest of everybody else that might offend us. But guess what? You're in control. When somebody offends you, you're in control of whether or not you forgive them. It's your choice. The Lord gives us His Word that we're to be forgiving one of another. We have that choice. That's one of those paths, Brother Thomas. One of those paths of righteousness. We can choose to obey the Scripture and have peace with God, or we can choose to harbor that thing and let it fester and generate resentment and hard feelings and a division. Now, whose path are we following when we do that? Jesus came to bring us together. Satan wants to divide. Satan wants to drive a wedge. Satan wants to do anything he can to cause God's people to fall out with one another. Because when he does that, then he's gained a victory. And that's one of the things that's been so distasteful about some of the things that we've had to go through in the last year and a half or so, or 2 years now. People telling us, telling God's people to be separated and to separate yourselves and not get together in groups, you know, and setting how many people can be in a group. You know, those kinds of things, it just doesn't set well with us because God has called us to be together. And anybody that wants to get in the way of that is working against what the Scriptures teach us. It's against God's will. It's against true peace and joy that we have as brethren here in this life. God's given us the church as a refuge to come apart from the world and enjoy fellowship one with another. And we want to protect that. We want to guard that. We want to cherish that and enjoy the things that we have in the Lord's house. So, even in the model prayer, when Jesus taught us to pray and forgive us our debts as, think about this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You see what happens with the basis of our forgiveness? I'm talking about timely interaction with one another. This is all built on the foundation of the forgiveness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, but He's called upon us to be at peace one with another. He's called upon us to forgive one another. Forgive us our debts. Don't you want your debts to be forgiven? Don't you want your offenses to be forgiven in this lifetime among others? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. if you're not willing to be forgiving of others, you got a problem, don't you? Because that's going to hinder the forgiveness that you feel with the Lord. Forgive us, what that's calling upon us to do. And the Lord gave us that as a part of a regular exercise. Whether you say the exact words of the model prayer or whether you incorporate those principles in your praying, whatever the case might be, the model that he gave us includes forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. On an ongoing basis, we are to be a forgiving people. You see, if a person is not seeking peace, but if they get selfish, and if they get lifted up in pride, and if they want their way, that's going to be a problem. You know, we're to prefer one another over ourselves. We're to be kind and long-suffering and gentle and all those good fruit of the Spirit toward one another. But pride can really mess things up, can't it? Pride can really begin to drive a wedge. And so, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our rule should be that we're forgiving of one another. All right? Now, when there is an offense, the Lord's given us a pattern in Scripture, hasn't he? How to deal with those? Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, in the interest of time, let's begin in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Isn't that a good feeling? When you feel like there's a rift and you're able to go to somebody and work it out, and then there's reconciliation. What a good feeling that is. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. All right, the Lord's given us a way to try to work through this. Okay? If it can't be done with one, just one-on-one, then bring some witnesses with you. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now, my persuasion is this doesn't have to be one time. My persuasion is you can labor with someone and pray about it, But he says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So I understand that means out of fellowship. You're still going to be kind. It's always in order for us to be kind and treat people the way they should be. But eventually, if they continue to be contentious or against what would be good for the church, there comes a time when they need to be out of fellowship. Then he gives some scriptures here. Well, let me just read. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What we're talking about here is a very prayerful, very submissive approach. seeking to be led by the Spirit. Because if we're submissive to the Spirit, if we're praying about this matter, and the Lord guides, then it's going to be right, whatever we do. But if people are lifted up in the flesh, if they're going to have their way, and if they keep pushing, you know, if they're not following that leadership of the Spirit, it could get ugly, you know? And we've seen times when that has happened. It's sad that that would happen in the church. But God give us the pattern that will work every time if it's followed. It's when we don't follow the pattern. It's when problems arise. But the Lord, this is a thorough furnisher. This word is a thorough furnisher unto all good works. Let's see. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If we're together in wanting to do God's will, He'll bless that. He'll bless that. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, I usually hear this being quoted when you got a small crowd at church. And I do believe that when, even if it's a small number, and because I know I have felt the difference. Even when there's a small number, and if everybody's there for the right reason, you can have a mighty sweet meeting. Blessed of the Lord. But that verse is right here in the context of working out differences and having to deal with discipline. Okay? So we can depend upon the Lord. When we've got something that's, you know, it's just our natural tendency, I guess, not to want to have to deal with something like that. But when we do, we've got assurance that the Lord will be with us if we do it in the right way, if we're depending upon Him, if we're praying for the guidance of His Holy Spirit, He will help us. Aren't you thankful for that? That the Lord hasn't just promised to be with us in the good times, He'll be with us in whatever we need Him for. What a blessing we have in the Lord. Now, after this, I'll just keep reading. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? What if the Lord asked you that question? Now, I know you know the answer to here. You've read this already. But how would you answer that question? Peter says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I think I said earlier, you know, I've read that the rabbis said three times is sufficient. Well, I guess Peter's being generous here. Seven times? But you see, even with seven times, Peter's putting a limit on it. What if the Lord only forgave you seven times? Well, even if it was 7,000 times, if there's a limit, we'd bust that limit, would we? 7,000 times in a lifetime? We would do that. We could. Some of us wouldn't take that long. But that's the point. Seven is a complete number. 70 times seven, as he answers him, Peter says, seven times? Jesus answered, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I would hope that someone would lose track before they get that far. As a matter of fact, when Paul is writing about charity over in 1 Corinthians 13, one of those expressions carries with it the idea that we don't keep score. And so when we think about, you know, seeketh not our own, not easily provoked, not easily puffed up, you know, we're not making sure that we get what we want. We're humbly trying to do God's will and live at peace among ourselves. Be forgiving. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're to have a forgiving spirit, remembering all the while we are forgiven for Christ's sake. And we can't number, we don't even know the number of times God has forgiven us as we go through life. Now, we know that on the cross, all of our sins were put away. But as a matter of conscience, as a matter of feelings in our heart, you know, forgiveness is something that we experience and we give and take and we just experience that. And sometimes we do a good job of it and sometimes we don't. The point of this lesson is to show, notice the scriptures, how that the Lord tells us we are to be forgiving because he has forgiven us. And his forgiveness is far beyond anything we'll ever achieve in this life. So, then after Peter asks the Lord and the Lord gives him that, the Lord gives us a parable of two debtors. And I won't take the time to go through, it's been a while. But the first one, I guess I need to, because there is a lot of detail here. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot. Somewhere in one of the commentaries, I found that a talent with what I wrote down in my Bible here, a talent was about 20 years' wages. That's a lot. I mean, if a penny was a day's wage, a talent was just a tremendous amount compared to that. So this man owed, what did he say? 10,000 talents. A fabulous sum. All right, and if this valuation of a talent being 20 years' wages, 10,000 times 20 years, you know, he's going to be old by the time he pays off that debt. But the point is, you wouldn't last that long. The point is, what he owed was a talent that he could never repay. Isn't that what the Lord did for us? He paid a debt for us that we could never, ever pay. Even in 10,000 lifetimes. Okay. And when he had begun to reckon, I'm sorry, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. It was going to cost him everything. It wasn't going to satisfy the debt, but it was going to cost him everything. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He couldn't pay it. But listen to his plea. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. And as far as our interactions with others, that is key. Compassion. If you don't have love and compassion for others, you're not going to be very motivated to be forgiving. As a matter of fact, if you're lifted up with pride and you always want to have your way, you're going to be just the opposite. Okay? But the Lord had compassion on him and forgave him the debt. Wow. Tremendous. Now, how should that man respond? Well, how should we respond? Well, every time we remember how much the Lord's forgiven us. Shouldn't that cause joy in our heart? Shouldn't that cause thanksgiving in our heart? Shouldn't that cause us to want to be merciful and kind like our Lord so that we can honor him and show to the world that we're his disciple because we want to be more like him? That's what it ought to do for us. But the same servant went out and found. So the Lord forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which basically is just a paltry sum, a small, very small and insignificant amount. But that first servant laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Wow. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yes. Fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. I think the other servant had said those very words. The Lord is masterfully crafting this parable. And he would not. Where's the compassion? Where's the compassion that had been shown to him? It's not there. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Now, we'd never do that, would we? I hope not. I hope not. But aren't we in that position? Somewhat. When 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we understand. We're blessed to understand what Jesus has done for us. But in his forgiving of us, he forgave us more than we could ever pay. A fabulous price. His own blood. His own precious blood. Only his blood was sufficient to pay the price. But he did that for us. So his Lord told him, I forgave thee all that debt. And even knowing what the Lord has forgiven us, when we come to him and ask for forgiveness each day, He's so merciful, so kind, so compassionate. And for Christ's sake, he forgives and forgives. Now, I'm not saying that we are sinning willfully. I'm just saying we're going to come short. We make our mistakes each day. And when we confess our sins and ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name, God hears our prayers. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a blessing we have in him. So he said, I forgave all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Even as I had pity on thee? The obvious answer is yes. Yes, we should have. We should have compassion one of another. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, we already established that was a debt he could never pay. I think it's safe to say that man would not ever feel that forgiveness again. But here's the sobering part of this parable. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And see, here's where we can see the difference between timely forgiveness and interacting with one another. And the fact that Jesus has put away our sins. We may find ourselves in a situation here where we don't feel that forgiveness in a situation. But that does not undo what the Lord has done for us. And so we need to guard ourselves. We need to keep away from being lifted up in pride. We need to be humble in his sight. We need to be following the leadership of his spirit. We need to be asking for wisdom. We need to be asking the Lord, what would you have me to do? Whatever the situation might be. So that we don't get ourselves in that situation where we, you know, once a person gets in the flesh, it just gets worse and worse from there. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. At times, now we've been talking about others offending us and us being willing to forgive. But there are times when we may be the offender. Sometimes people have a bad day. Sometimes you have a bad day. You may be short with your words sometimes. We may say something that really cuts to the heart of somebody else. And we might not even know it. Sometimes we do. And sometimes we need to, if we know about it, and in our heart, if we realize that's an issue, we need to take care of it, don't we? Now this is tough to do sometimes. But that's what the Word tells us to do. let's go to Matthew chapter 5. This is a big subject, and I know there'll be a lot left unsaid. Matthew chapter 5, we had several verses here where the Lord warns us against being angry with someone else. And, well, let me back up a little bit. Let's start in verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. He goes from thou shalt not kill to speaking of someone who's angry with his brother without a cause. Wouldn't you say that's the kind of anger that Cain had for Abel? Without a cause. But he was so angry, he followed through with it. In your mind, when you're very angry at someone, it's possible that you might have the thought, you know, that not that you would follow through with it, but this, he's equating anger here with killing. As if you don't care what happens to that person. I'm not saying you're going to follow through it. You know, I'm just saying we have to be careful in anger. Let it not get out of hand. All right? Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Thy brother has aught against thee. This is not something that you have against him, but you know he has this problem with you. Part of what the Lord is dealing with here is that the Pharisees were real good about being whited sepulchers. Looking good on the outside, but inwardly like dead men's bones. The Lord would have us to be right with one another inwardly. Not just on the outside, but inwardly. And if we feel conviction by the Spirit about how we feel or how somebody else feels with us, then let's go to that person. Let's prayerfully seek for that offense, that debt, to be released. That offense be removed. So that we can be at peace with one another. See, the Spirit convicts us of these things. And if we ignore the conviction of the Spirit, we're grieving the Spirit. We're not in the kind of fellowship we should be with one another or with the Lord. Because if there's something the Spirit's convicting us with, then there's something that needs to be dealt with there. In order for us then to, if we deal with that, then we can come back and do our worship. But if the Spirit's convicting us, then the Lord's given us a wonderful way to show us things that we need to attend to. So if there's a conviction by the Spirit to do something, then we need to do that. Because the Spirit's right. And so we can pray about it. We can ask the Lord to give us understanding and help us to know what we need to do. But that's the Lord's given us that to us to be a help to us. It's good for the church. Good for us. It's just the best thing to do, isn't it? To deal with that matter. All right. So if therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Again, the Lord has given us the right kind of instruction. It's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. And it's the best thing we can do is to follow that Spirit. So, is that hard? Go back to that. It might be hard on us sometimes, but it's the best thing to do. It's what we need to remove the offense, to feel that release, to find peace. You know, it was in one of these other verses, I quit reading too soon, but after the Lord told them what they needed to do, they came to the Lord and said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, is it really a matter of faith? If the Spirit is convicting you, then it's telling you what you need to do. I suspect it's more of an issue of obedience. Of course, now when we walk in obedience, we're walking by faith. But the Lord's given us what we need. When He gave us the Holy Spirit, He's given us. Now, I understand that Paul, to the Thessalonians, he talked about he wanted to continue to minister unto them that... I'm not getting the word, but anyway, let me turn to it. Rather than leaving it off, let's turn to it. 1 Thessalonians. Okay, perfect is what I'm looking for. Paul said to the first in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, what the Lord gives us is not faulty. It just needs to be mature. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in our application of these principles. We need to grow in our understanding of what we need to do. Because sometimes there's things that's lacking in our manifestation of the faith. All right? And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. Well, if you've got a conviction of the Holy Spirit on something, the Lord's showing you what you need to do. We might need to pray for clarity. We might need to pray for how to approach the matter, but He's given us what we need to obey Him, so that we can find that peace and that release. So the whole matter of this issue, Paul draws our attention to the fact that Ephesians chapter 4, we'll get these two verses and then we'll close. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 30, he says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." You know, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we do something that's contrary to the leading of the Spirit. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking," bitterness, wrath, anger, those kind of things that the flesh tempts us to do, "let all those things be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then in Colossians 3, when he tells us in verse 12, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." See, when you're in that frame of mind, you're not going to be hurting anybody. You're not going to be saying hurtful things. You're not going to be minding the flesh. "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Let's get a couple more. "And above all these, put on charity," love and action, "which is the bond of perfectness." When you can do that, you're maturing in your faith. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." That's the goal, isn't it? The peace of God ruling in your hearts. "To the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." That's a big subject. I've only scratched the surface. But in the words that we noticed tonight from the scriptures, that gives us something we can work on for the rest of our lives. And the very reason why we should is because the foundation of all of this is that because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. May God help us to follow the scriptures, seek the Lord's will, and be found doing what we can to be at peace with God and one another. May God bless you, is our prayer.